We are studying about Jesus coming into this world, and this is, I think, it's the fourth part we are going to study today. But we're going to start with a couple of Bible scriptures. Matthew chapter 1, please read from verse 18 to 25.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Luke chapter 1, starting from verse 26 to 38.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
Amen. Now hear the story, we already read it. The word of God says, Joseph was a righteous man. The Mary was a God-fearing woman. If you see the Mary's family, they are also coming in the David's family, King David's family. And Joseph comes in a King David's family. We don't have time to go and search this, but it is recorded in the Matthew and Luke. So now these are religious people, God-fearing people, and when this thing happened, it should be a good news to Joseph and Mary. God's message came, both of them were confused. Why I'm saying this? Because if you are a child of God, and if you are a religious person, you're supposed to read the Bible. If Joseph was reading the Bible and studying the Word, he would know what is this all about. This was a plan by God. The day man committed sin, God promised them a Savior. Genesis 3:15 we read. And then we read in the book of Isaiah, let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1 and 2.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him.
Okay, now Isaiah says, who has heard our report? Now, if you're reading the Word of God, chapter 53, we know that what good report is all about. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. When you say he's coming as a tender plant, like a baby, but coming out of the dry ground. Now, if you remember, this all 3 weeks we learned, before Jesus Christ came into this world, how this world looked like and what the situation was all about. Other day there was a Christian program and they were showing, before Jesus Christ came, what was the situation. And we saw all this Roman government were killing everybody, destroying everybody, and Jewish people had no rights, and so many things were happening, and people were not happy. That's why we learned last week what the darkness and the death was hanging around. Now, when you say he was coming as a root, now many people do not understand what the root is all about. If there is no root, there will be no plant. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 16.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star.
Amen. Now Jesus Christ is saying, I am the root and the offspring of David. So the Jesus Christ itself is saying, I am that root, what the Isaiah was prophesying. And where it is coming from the David's family. Go to the Matthew chapter 1, verse 1.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
The son of David and son of Abraham. So the Jesus Christ is coming in a David's family and a Abraham's family. Why David's family and why Abraham's family? When he comes in a David's family, he is coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Joseph is coming in David's family, as I said, is recorded in Matthew chapter 1. And Mary comes in David's family, is recorded in Luke chapter 3. So both ways, if you look the genealogy of Jesus Christ coming in David's family. So it was promised that Jesus Christ is coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords in David's family. Because promise was given to David that your kingdom will be forever. So now here we see he was son of David and son of Abraham. Why the son of Abraham? If you remember, God gave promise to Abraham. God is going to bless his seed. Let's go to the Genesis. Chapter 22, verses 17 and 18.
That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, eight of his enemies.
Okay, now, before you go to the 18, let's bring back 17. Now he says, I will multiply thy seed. He didn't say seeds, seed. Okay, go ahead.
And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, okay, because thou hast obeyed my voice.
And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now he says, again he says seed. Abraham had several children. First of all, God promised Abraham that God is going to give him a son. And in that son, all the nations are going to be blessed. He was not talking about Isaac. He was not talking about Ishmael. He was not talking about other children. He was talking about Jesus. How do you know? Go to the book of Galatians chapter 3 verse 16.
Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ.
Amen. How much clearer we need? He says that seed was promised to Abraham. That was Jesus Christ. He did not say to seeds as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The Christ was the seed of the woman. And that's why Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, that promise was given to Adam, but Adam didn't understand. Adam thought that the first son, Cain, came, and he thought, this might be the one who is going to deliver us. Then the Abel came, he said, this might be the one. Then Noah came, they said, this might be the one. Then Abraham came, and Abraham got his children. He didn't know what was his seed, but the promise was given about Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was the seed of Abraham, and we were supposed to be blessed in Abraham. Joseph is a religious man. He's supposed to know the Word of God. He's supposed to study the Word of God. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, read verse 6.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Okay, now this prophecy, along with this prophecy, read the Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now when you say 9, 6, and 7, 14 together.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, now Joseph, if he was reading the Bible, reading the scriptures, or listening to the prophets, he would not have any confusion. When Mary comes and tells him that I have seen the angel and I am carrying the son of Abraham or son of David or the son of God, he would not have any problem if he knows the Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. But what happens when we are in great trouble, we forget all the God's blessings, we forget all the God's promises, but this was promised right there. And the Word of God says, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and read verse 21.
She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Okay, now when God talked to Joseph, and said to him, his name shall be what? Jesus. And what is the meaning of Jesus? Means the Savior. So he was trying to tell Joseph, the son who is coming into this world, or Mary is going to have a son, that son is a Savior. He's going to save the mankind. And verse 23, not only Savior, but what? Emmanuel.
Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Okay, so he is trying to say this son is not an ordinary son, is not only Savior, but he is God himself. So the God is going to come to dwell with mankind. And that's what the message to Joseph. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 1 and start reading from verse 31 and 30.
And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus.
Okay, Joseph knew his name is Jesus. Mary knew that his name is Jesus. So there is no confusion. Mary said, angel told me his name is Jesus, which is the Savior. And Joseph said, yes, I know he says his name is Jesus. Let's read the verse 32.
He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Okay, now here it says, he is not only the king, but he is the Son of God. In Matthew, we read Emmanuel, God with us. But here is it, the Son of the Highest, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now here is saying, he is the Son of the Highest and a king. And he is the Savior. Matthew says, he is the Savior and he is God, coming to dwell among us. And to Mary says, he shall be great. Now when Jesus Christ came into this world, many people thought he is an ordinary man. But nobody wanted to admit he was the Son of God or he is God himself. When Jesus Christ was walking on this earth, Jesus said, what do you think people are saying? So somebody says prophet, somebody says Elijah, somebody says this and that. Many people were confused. So the Jesus Christ saying himself, go to the book of Matthew chapter 12. Now to Jewish people, the three things were very great, like a temple or the story of Jonah or Solomon. They're great people. What Jesus Christ is saying. Matthew chapter 12, verse 6.
But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple.
Who is he? Jesus Christ is saying, Jesus Christ was greater than the temple and greater than anybody else. Let's read the verse 41.
The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, the greater than Jonah is here.
Jonah was the greatest preacher because whole Nineveh city repented and God did not destroy the Nineveh. But Jesus says, greater than Jonah is here. Who is he? Jesus. Let's go to the verse 42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Now, Queen of Sheba came to see the Solomon. When she came, she said to Solomon, I heard about you a lot, but after coming to see you, I even did not hear 50%. After seeing you, I know how great the Solomon king is. But Jesus Christ says, greater than Solomon is here. Who is that? Jesus Christ. When angel tells to Mary, he will be the great. Now we know Jesus Christ is the greatest among all the people came into this world. No one can compare anyone with Jesus Christ. He is the greatest one. That's why let's go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and we see.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder.
Okay, the government shall be upon his shoulder. So, who is this son? This son is a ruler. This son is a governor. This son is a king. And he is going to rule whole world. So, this baby is not an ordinary baby. This baby is the greatest king. Okay.
And his name shall be called Wonderful.
Okay. His name shall be called Wonderful. You know, we saw Wonder Woman, Wonder Man, and all kinds of things we learned. But there is none like Jesus Christ. When you see wonder means something miraculous or something great, that's the time we say wonder. When Jesus Christ says, I am greater than Jonah, I am greater than temple, I am greater than the Solomon, he is the greatest wonder. Now in the world we have, there are 7 or 8 wonders, some tall buildings or Taj Mahals and all of these things are wonders they call. Nothing can be compared with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wondrous person ever came into this world and ever lived in this world for a short period of time. Okay.
Counselor.
And his name is Counselor. Why we need Counselor, do you know? When you are in trouble, then you go for counseling. But the Jesus Christ said, oh, come unto me, oh, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you are in sin, you are troubled mind, you cannot do your things, and so many people get crazy about this worldly system. And some people kill themselves because they have lots of trouble. Many people, when they heard the voice of Jesus Christ and came to Him, they were set free. So Jesus Christ is the greatest counselor. Instead of running here and there, come to the feet of Jesus Christ and talk to Him. Your problem is not too great to Jesus Christ. Problem looks so big to us, but to God is nothing. So we come to Jesus Christ. You remember what the angel was talking to Mary? He says, with God, there is nothing impossible. Trouble comes and problem comes and you try to figure it out, and sometimes you get so much confused. But the Word of God says there is nothing impossible. There is nothing too hard to the Lord. Our God is the Creator and He knows everything. If your watch is broken, you go to the watchmaker, or your car is broken, go to the repair shop. But if your heart is broken, no one can fix it. Now, somebody says, I went to that hospital, instead of they fixing my heart, they made two holes in my heart. So they can make a problem. But go to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will fix your spiritual matter. No one knows how to fix your spiritual matter or wash your sins away. Jesus is. So He is the good counselor. And
the mighty God.
The mighty God. Now, if you go to the Jehovah's Witnesses, they will say Jesus Christ, a God. Smaller than God. What He says, Jesus Christ is not a God, the mighty God. And He says, not only mighty God, everlasting Father. Now somebody says, we are only Father God. Why Jesus Christ is called the Father? That's why people get confused. People are saying, the Father came into this world because He says Father became a son and Father died on the cross. No. What happened? We learn that our God is triune. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father sent the God the Son. And God the Son died on the cross of Calvary. And God the Son was buried. And God the Father raised Him from the grave. So now when we say Jesus Christ's name, all this, His Son, is mighty God and everlasting Father. Why is Jesus Christ is called the Father? Do you know? Father means a creator, a giving birth. Now Jesus Christ is the creator. How do you know? John chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. If you read, we know. Please read.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
Verse 3.
All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It's very clear. Everything was created by Jesus Christ. So that's why He's called a Father, a Creator. And He is not for a short period of time, He is for eternity. So when angel came to Mary, He says His kingdom will forever. Means His kingdom, there will be no end. So when somebody says, when Jesus Christ starts the kingdom in this world, there will be no end. Somebody says, when the kingdom will not end, that means we are going to live in this world forever. That doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is going to rule on this earth. Just like America had the headquarter in Philadelphia. Now headquarter changed to Washington. So now when Jesus Christ comes to rule the world for 1,000 years, the headquarter will be Jerusalem. When we go to eternity, his headquarter will be in heaven. Go to the book of Micah chapter 5 verse 2. I want to point it out.
But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel.
Okay, who is coming? The ruler in Israel. So somebody, the child or the Savior, was coming as the son of David in Bethlehem and Jerusalem and going to rule. Okay.
Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Okay. Who is he? He's from old, means from the beginning and everlasting. So Jesus Christ is not only born into this world, and that's the time he was born. He says he is from everlasting, and his kingdom will be everlasting. Even though he says his kingdom will not end, that means after 1,000 years, the kingdom doesn't finish. The kingdom, the headquarter from this Jerusalem to starting New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem is in heaven. Now people say, oh, the Jerusalem is coming down on earth. Oh no, we are going to go up there, not down here. Because Jesus Christ says, John chapter 14 verse 1 and 2. He did not say, I'm coming down to earth and we'll stay here all eternity. Did he say that? Please read.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Okay, let's read the following.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen. Now here is saying, I'll come and I'll take you in heavenly places where there are so many mansions. But I'm going to prepare a place and then I'll come back. Not to come and live in this world forever, but we are going to go to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ is the everlasting, and he's from the everlasting, and his kingdom will be forever and ever. So this message came to Joseph. This message came to Mary. And when they were confused, the word of God says, is there anything impossible or is anything hard for the Lord? She said, I never saw the man, means I don't have any relationship with any man. How this is possible? What did he say that? There is nothing impossible with God. Is there anything hard with the Lord? And then she started thinking. And then he gives the story about Elizabeth. And what the Mary says, I am the handmaid of God, and let it be according to your word. As soon as Mary said, I am available, Lord, here I am, use me. In that second, Mary became pregnant. And the word of God said that was what? The son of the highest. And how she was going to have the baby, he said the baby will come by the Spirit, or the word used, the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is not the Father of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. When the Father sent the Son is called the Word of God, or the Son was called the Seed of God. So when the Son comes to dwell in us or dwell in Mary, how did he come? As we know, St. John chapter 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means when we say Spirit of God, God is Spirit. God the Father is the Spirit. God the Son is the Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit. Then what happened? Which one came? God is the one say, okay, Son, I'm going to send you. So when the Son comes as the Seed or the Spirit. And when the Son comes by the Word of God, dwells in Mary. When she said, let it be according to your word. What does it mean? I heard it, that I am going to be pregnant and I will have son in my womb. And as soon as she said, she became pregnant. So what happened? The word became flesh. So the same way how we get saved. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
See, how did we get saved? Being born again, not of uncorruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's Jesus Christ. The seed of God is the word of God, and the word of God is the Son of God. Once you receive the Son of God as a seed in your heart, you get born again. Same way the Mary received the seed, the word of God, and she became pregnant. So that seed was the word of God, and that seed was the Savior, and that seed was Son of God. So the word of God is saying, even the people didn't understand at that particular time, but we know once you receive the seed or receive the word, you get what? Saved, or you get eternal life. So the Jesus Christ came into this world and the announcement was given, this Jesus is the Son of God or the King or the Savior. Go to the book of Luke chapter 2. And verse 11.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Now, this message was given to whom? The shepherd. He says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That means Jesus, which is Christ the Lord. So here he says, he's not only a king. When he comes in the David's family, he has to be king. And he's not only king, he is the Savior. He can save you from your sinful life. And that's one is called Christ. Christ means anointed one. Christ who died for us. And when you read in the prophecy of Daniel, he says, Messiah will be cut off in 69th week. So that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and exactly 69th week Jesus Christ was crucified. So the Jesus Christ is the Lord. So he is Savior, he is King, and he is our Lord who gave his life for us. And so this is the good news for mankind. And people were waiting for Jesus Christ to come, but they didn't know. There is no prophecies saying there will be a one Mary and the Mary will become pregnant. So there were so many Marys. But what Mary? The word of God says, I'll give you a sign. Let's read that verse one more time. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
So God says, I'll give you a sign. What a sign? The virgin will bring forth a son. It never happened before, and it will never happen again. This was the sign. When the virgin got pregnant, that was the sign that God is going to visit mankind. And this prophecy happened 800 years before Jesus Christ was born. God keeps his promises. And God keeps his word. We forget. God never forgets. Whatever he said to Adam thousands of years ago, then he said to Isaiah 800 years ago, but it came to pass. So this was the sign that the virgin becomes pregnant. That means Son of God is coming to this world. So this was God's gift to the whole world. You remember we learned last time this John the Baptist says, when Jesus Christ was coming, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. When you say Lamb of God was going to be crucified, that's called Messiah, was going to be cut off. The Jesus Christ is the Lord, he's the Savior, he's the King, and he has come to this world. And the Word of God says this is all grace of God. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Start reading from verse 4.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
It is the gift of God. That's what this Christmas is all about. When you read John chapter 3 verse 16, what it says? God so loved the world that he gave his son. That is a gift for mankind. Now when you read from 4 to 8, Ephesians chapter 2, there are so many things are written in there. This is the mercy of God. This is the grace of God. This is the love of God. We were not worthy, but he made us worthy for not only this kingdom, but the everlasting kingdom. And so God is so gracious to us. And he says, it is just the gift of God. We didn't do anything, but God did something. What did he do? He gave his son for mankind. And that is a gift. Book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23. What it says? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the God has given gift to the mankind. Joseph didn't understand. Mary didn't understand. Angel has to come and talk to them. See what the Word of God is saying. So what I'm trying to say, if we read the Word of God, if you study the Word of God, we will know how much God loves us and how much God has prepared us for the eternal kingdom. What we need, only one gift you need, gift of eternal life, that is Jesus Christ. If you went everywhere searching for gift, and sometime you didn't get a gift. Do you know that some of the people say, I'll give my child, give me that gift. They're so precious than their own child, their own life. They want those gifts. They didn't know that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift. You know, when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I do not find anything lacking. When I was in India, Christmas time, everyone celebrate Christmas and having fun. I used to fast every Christmas. Somebody say, why are you doing a positive? So everybody's rejoicing. Why don't you rejoice with them? I was fasting and praying, Lord, hold this world. Do not know what Jesus Christ is all about. Someday they might learn about Jesus Christ. And so what is the greatest gift? Jesus Christ. Maybe next week we'll learn a little bit more. When we study about Jesus Christ coming to this world, what Jesus Christ says, foxes has the holes and the bird has the nest, but the Son of God or Son of Man has no place to lay down his head. Can you imagine the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all the heavens and earth is belong to him, and he's the creator of all things. But when he comes to this world, he came like a baby. Baby is helpless. You stay in the womb for what? 9 months and 9 days or 10 days, almost 10 months. You stay in the womb. You cannot do anything like a prisoner staying there. Jesus stayed in Mary's womb for 9 months and, 10 days. But according to her normal delivery, he stayed in the womb. When he came out of the womb, he was helpless. He didn't say, "I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't put me in that swaddling cloth. I'm supposed to have a royal gown." But he didn't say anything. And he was just like a little baby. But it was a different baby. Because we see, when the angel came to the shepherd, we will be learning more next week, God willing. They got the message. Those shepherds were watching over the sheep, middle of the night. All darkness everywhere, and the light shines around them. And the message was what? The Son of God is born. And so when they ran, kept all the sheep and all everything what they have, they didn't care what the wolf is coming and destroying or whatever happened. Let's get out of here. And you see all these movies and things like that, they show only one or two shepherds coming. I say there are so many people. India and some other countries, I have seen all the shepherds, means there are several shepherds will be in one ground sitting and watching. And so many shepherds might have kept the flock. They didn't say, okay, 10 people are going, a couple of people stay here and watch. They said, let's go. And everybody ran. What I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ is the precious gift for mankind. We should be ready for Christ. But here people are forgetting about Christ. And they are going somewhere. Today you will be seeing how many people might be in a supermarket or shopping centers and here and there. And very few people going to church. Why? Because they do not know what the Christmas is all about. And slowly there will be no holiday. And I heard they are going to make a Easter as a winter holiday. So what I'm trying to say, the people do not know the value of Christmas or Christ coming to this world. That's why we were studying from the Genesis and from all these prophets what they were talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not ordinary prophet. He said Jesus Christ came as a gift to mankind. He gave his what? Only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary, and he gave that gift to mankind. Another day I was listening, they were talking about N means what, it's a hotel or motel or just the houses or just the guest house. But whatever the place was, there was no room for Jesus there. My wife will give birth, that means in your place, God's Son will be born. If you would have said like that, what the people would have said? You might be fool. You might be dreaming. You might be lying because you need a room. And even though he would have said, nobody would have believed. See, this was the situation when Jesus Christ came. And purposely, this is God's doing. Purposely, there was no room in an inn. So he will be in the manger. And he will be the one who will be telling all the people, homeless people around the world, we have a message. You do not have the room to stay. My Savior didn't have the room to stay. And so Jesus Christ said, the foxes has the holes, the bird has the nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down his head. Somebody says, oh, but I heard he was sleeping with a pillow in the sheep. How many years? Split second, and they said, Master, you are sleeping and we are going to perish. And they woke him up. So he didn't have the luxurious place. He didn't have somewhere the house to call his own. Somebody says, Master, where do you live? He says, come and follow me. Where he was living, he did not have his own house to live. But he gave eternal life for us and a bigger place in heaven. Mansion. Okay? So go to the book of Revelation. I would like to say, if Jesus Christ didn't have room in inn or in hotel or motel, and somebody would have said, if I was there, I will surely give in my house to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I don't want your house. I don't want your money. I want you. Amen. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Read from 20 to 22.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
Amen. Now this is the invitation. After 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ is saying, I came into this world. I came as a baby. I died for you. I rose again. I went to heaven. I promise you, I will be with you until the end of the age. And he will be with us in the spirit. And he is in this world today. Because there is no limitation for Jesus Christ today. In the beginning, he was the spirit. And now, he is in the spirit. St. John chapter 14, verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
We will come. Who? Father and Son will come and dwell in us. So what did Jesus Christ say? Now I'm knocking at your door. Will you open the door and let me come in? So when he say, I will come in, actually said, we will come in. And we will make our home in you. And book of Revelation, he says, I'll come. And then you will have food with me. We'll eat together. And we will have good time together. So Jesus Christ is knocking at the door. Many people, they shut Jesus out. And they are going here and they are looking for gift. The word of God says, here is the gift for you. You cannot wrap it. You open your heart and he will come into your heart. So what we say today, we say, Jesus, come into my heart. You have no room in, but I'm going to open my heart. Shall we rise? Say, Jesus, come into my heart and live in this heart. This is the temple for the living God. We cannot keep Jesus in the manger. Some people are making fake mangers and putting the plastic doll, and some plastic doll is stolen, and they are crying, somebody stole my Jesus. Nobody can steal Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the God himself. Amen. No one has power to steal God. When he lives in you, nobody can take it away from you. The devil has no power to steal. The devil has no power to kill, because the word of God says he came into this world and the world has darkness, but the darkness did not have power to overcome the light. So Jesus Christ, when he comes in you, your life will be completely glorious. You will not have anything wanting. You will be not fighting in a Christmas day, I didn't get this and I didn't get that. Every Christmas, my wife or anybody asks, what do you want for Christmas? I do not want anything for Christmas. Only thing if somebody, rich man will ask me, I will say, I would like to preach the gospel around the world. Pay for my radio program. Pay for my television program. I do not want anything personally. Because I have a big one living in me. Jesus Christ, the greatest one. So, what is the message? Jesus Christ says, I came here, I didn't have the room to stay. I came in the manger, and I came into this world, and I died for you on the cross. So, God says, this is the greatest gift to mankind. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, came into us to live in our temple. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we heard about you and your coming. And many people might be waiting for you to come. But when the time came to come into this world, nobody understood. Even the disciples, they didn't understand. Mary didn't understand. Joseph didn't understand. And today also, we do not understand. Jesus Christ is standing outside the door and knocking and say, let me come in. Let the whole world today open the door for Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I'm not looking for toys. I'm not looking for gifts. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will have everything. We will have eternal life. And we will live with Jesus Christ in heaven forever and ever and ever. This is the greatest gift and promise you have given to us. In this world we did not bring anything. Out of this world we cannot take anything. But only Jesus Christ, who is eternal God, we will stay with us, because you promise, I will be with you until the end of the age. So Lord, thank you, Jesus, for coming in our house, coming in our hearts, coming in our church. And Lord, you have blessed us with the eternal life. And let us go and tell somebody what Christmas is all about. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.